This morning, I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. The title of my message this morning is something you all Texans will appreciate. It's Walking Tall. Walking Tall. We hear these old Western movies. Some of them even have that phrase in the title. But we need to walk tall in Christ, amen? And we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. But before we open God's word and read it, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to come and open your word and study it. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would have full reign here today. Lord, I pray that our lives would be changed. Lord, I pray that you bind Satan on our behalf. Father, I pray that you just be with those that need to hear this. And Father, that it would be a time of refreshing, a time of renewal, a time of redemption. And Lord, I pray that you just help us, Lord, today just to see you work. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And in verse 10 of chapter 13 of Luke, it says, "And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath day, on the Sabbath, loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him." You know, this week we've been following along, and I'm sure you've been following along what's been going on in the Middle East. And the real issue is there's a struggle out there. And the struggle is for freedom, and we all want freedom. People have different ideas of what freedom's all about. But we need true freedom. You know, Ronald Reagan says this, is freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. How true that is. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. We all want freedom as a very precious commodity. Freedom must be maintained. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Stand fast, be in it, live in it, grow in it, do it. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty," or the freedom, "wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." We've been reading and hearing on the news about the hostages that was taken by Hamas. And they were doing nothing that would cause them to be taken hostage. But you know, there's a lot of people persecuted for various reasons. There's a lot of people persecuted for the gospel. And we need to understand that many are bound today because of persecution. Things that they didn't bring on themselves. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound." No matter where your situation is, no matter what your captivity is, God's word is not bound. You can be loosed from that. But we need to consider what's going on in the world today. And bring these things to God. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 3 says, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. You know, there's others bound today, but not because of afflictions. Some they braided on themselves. In Psalm chapter 107, verse 10, it says, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. And if you go on and you read in that psalm, it talks about because they rebelled against the word of God, of word of the Lord. But one thing, today people will come to church. People will come to church with problems. People will come to church being bound by things, being bound by maybe a physical malady, maybe be bound by economic problems, maybe being bound by just the weight of all the things going on. Maybe something spiritual, some spiritual struggle, some sin in your life, and you've been bound. In our children's corner this morning, we saw 10 people that were bound by leprosy. And one came back and was made whole. Oh, it's a sad thing to understand that there's people that come to church today and they still leave in the same condition that they came in. They still have their bounds. They still have their bonds on them. They still are in captivity. Nothing's changed in their life. Folks, when we come to church, we need to understand that this is a place of change. God's word is a place of change. We need to choose it. We need to choose it. But the sad part about it is there'll be people leaving today still in their bondage. There's people today that may not even know that they are in bondage. And hopefully this morning my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will come and show us what we need to give to God. So we see this story this morning about this woman that comes to the synagogue. And she's got a bad, bad, bad physical condition. And she's one of the characters in this story. We see the ruler of the synagogue who basically ridicules Jesus because he heals on the Sabbath day. These two are in bondage. They represent all of us. And we need to understand what the scripture teaches about this. Let's look at the two that were captive. The two that were captive. First of all, there's the woman that was in the spirit of infirmity. Now, there's several things that we need to understand about this. We see later on in the passage that the source of her bondage was Satan. And Christ says, you're loosed from your infirmity. When it talks about her condition, it talks about the spirit. The spirit, the Greek word for this is pneuma, okay? And basically, it translates as a spirit higher than man, but lower than God. You know why? Because there's no one ever more superior than God. This is a demon. Could be Satan himself. But whatever the case may be, this problem was brought on not because of her sinful life, but because she was attacked. If you go further up into this chapter, it talks about 18 Galileans, or it talks about these Galileans who were sacrificed with the sacrifices. And the issue is that the disciples say, well, what's happening here? What's causing all this? Or the tower that falls down and kills 18 people. Who did the sin? Sometimes it's out of their control. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against all these things in high places. And so We see the source in this passage is Satan for her bondage. We see that the spirit of the bondage itself was this spirit that's higher than her but lower than God. The symptoms, it says that she was bent together. Really, she was folded in two. We've seen older people and how they struggle. They can't stand upright. And this woman comes to the synagogue and she's bent over and she can't do anything about it. She has no power to correct it. No doctor could fix it. But yet she still comes to the synagogue. She still comes to the place of God seeking relief. Seeking relief. She could not. She was bent over in two and she could not lift herself up. Folks, problems come in our life that are bigger than us. So we can come to a source that is bigger than me or you. And that's God. And this is absolutely one for the glory of God. The seriousness of this, 18 years. You know, people live in their problems for a long, long time. Some even go to their grave with their problems and never get relief. They never get relief. So we see the woman who's in the spirit of infirmity. It's her condition that's the problem. She can't lift herself up. And it's serious. It's been a lifelong struggle for her for these last 18 years. But then there's another one that's held captive. It's the ruler of the synagogue. It was interesting that over this last couple of weeks, I've noticed more and more religious-based material on the internet. And I saw one this morning on the most misunderstood verse in the Bible, that all things work together for good. I saw one last night on 12 things that Christians do that's an offense to others. And I'm going, I saw another one on 10 signs that Christ is coming back. But this is out there. But, you know, the ruler of the synagogue represents all the religious people in the world today. You know, the problem is his self-righteousness. Christ comes in and does this miracle. This woman who was bent over, can't even stand up straight, struggles to get to where she's going, is healed. And all this person can do is ridicule because it just happened to happen on the Sabbath day. We need to understand that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. And we see he's bound. And he's bound in self-righteousness. Last week we talked about choices. And the problem is you choose to follow God. But there's people that don't choose. And in Luke chapter 5, verse 31 through 32, it says, "And Jesus answered unto them," after the man that was let down through the roof, and Christ says, "Your sins are forgiven you." And they get all mad about that. And he says, "Which is easier, say your sins are forgiven or rise up and walk, get up and walk?" And they go nuts. And Christ turns on the religious crowd. And he's turning on the religious crowd today, and he's saying this. He says, "Jesus answered and said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." There's people today that don't even know that they're self-righteous. There's people today that don't even know that they're in bondage. There's people today that don't even know that they're bent over from their burden. And they need help. They're too proud to ask for it. Christ goes on and says, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." See, there was two that were captive. There was the woman that was actually oppressed by Satan. And then there's the ruler that oppressed others because of his self-righteousness, which comes from Satan. So the ruler of the synagogue, he's captive because of his self-righteousness. He's captive because of his self-blindness. He gets up and we see in this text, he says, hey, there's 6 days in a week. You can come to the temple and get healed. No. No. See, you get healed when God's involved in it. It's not a place. It's not a group of people. It's God. He was blinded to the fact. Christ has been ministering for years now and been doing all these miracles. Last Wednesday night, we talked on the fulfillment of Isaiah 53 and the fulfillment of Isaiah 6. And what this ruler may have been a Pharisee, we don't know. But he's the leader of the synagogue. What he's in bondage for, he's blind. And in John chapter 12, verse 40, we talked about this Wednesday night. It says, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. See, there are so many people today that don't know better because they never heard. And when they hear, they dismiss it because it's not what they think it should be. And so we see this ruler and his self-righteousness. His self-righteousness causes self-blindness, that he doesn't understand that God's standing right in front of him. This miracle that no doctor could fix, that she couldn't lift herself up. She's made straight. She's standing upright. Only God, the Creator, could do that. But he's too blind to see, and he's too interested in his position, and he's too interested in his rules to go beyond that. So we see his self-righteousness. We see his self-blindness. We see his sanctimony, his judgmental attitude. Who gives you the right to do something on the Sabbath day? Who gives you the right to do good? When is it time to do good? All the time. And Christ says, should not good happen on the what? On the Sabbath? Really? See, the self-righteous, self-blinded comes up with their own religion. They said, this is the way it ought to be. This is the way you get to heaven. This is the way you have eternal life. This is the way you ought to act. This is this. And they come up with all these rules, and they're in bondage. And they're in bondage. Christ, in his first sermon, is recorded in Matthew. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 3, he says, judge not, that ye be not judged. He says, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote, the splinter, the speck in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that was in thy own eye? He had so many beams in his eye, he could not see. Because he thought God would be this way and could not see the true God. And so we see the two that were captive. The woman, the source of her captivity was Satan. The man, the ruler, the source of his captivity was himself. But that's behind Satan also. Because Christ says, you either have one of two fathers, God or Satan. And he calls out all the religious. He says, ye are of your father, the devil. And his deeds you will do. And his sayings you will say. People are in bondage and they don't even know it. So we see the two that were captive. We see the two that saw Jesus. Everybody saw Jesus that morning in the synagogue. The woman was touched by the hand of God. You know, Christ starts out, he says, "You're loosed from thy infirmity," and then he touches her. See, God always follows through with the things he says. In Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 and 2, in Luke chapter 4, Christ, when he starts his earthly ministry, he talks about the scripture. And he tells the people in the synagogue, which makes him go mad again. He says, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." But here in Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 1 and 2, this is what people should have been looking for. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord God hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." It goes on and says, "To give beauty for ashes, the garment of praise for mourning." God makes a change in people's lives, but you have to accept it. This woman, you're loose from your infirmity. He touches her and she stands straight up. It's not some sort of 12-point program. When God gets a hold of your life, you change immediately. Yes, we need to keep on getting closer and closer and closer to them. But the change that God made is something that you could never do on your own. She couldn't lift herself up. She was bent over in two. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy burden, and I'll give you rest." So the woman was touched by the hand of God. The woman experienced the word of God, but the ruler was taunting Jesus. To make a point, he calls everybody in the synagogue and he says, "Wait a second here. You don't understand this. This guy here, why couldn't he have done this on the other days of the week instead of the Sabbath? You know better than that." This is the message he was preaching to the crowd. And a lot of them were swallowing it. You know why? Because he thought he was okay because of who he was, what he was doing. Your good works won't get you to heaven. Your good works won't do righteousness. Your ethnicity won't get you anywhere. You're a sinner in need of God's grace. In John chapter 8, verses 33 and 34, when Christ has said, "I am the light of the world," at the festival of tabernacles, they said, they answered, "We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man." See, they didn't even know the condition they were in. "How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin." You may think that you're okay, but in reality, you have a great need. And so we see the two that were captive. We see the two that saw Jesus, and one was released and the other one wasn't. That leads us to the third point, the two that had totally different outcomes. The woman left walking tall. She was straight. She was upright. She was healed. There's three things that happened to her. First of all, her physical condition was renewed. She was given total recovery from her malady. Oh, folks, he says, behold, I make all things new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. We're renewed by the quickening of the Spirit. She was redeemed. See, the issue wasn't her bent overness. The issue was she was bound by Satan. That's the true issue. And see, Christ comes and he deals with the real issue at first. Before he touches her, he says, you're loosed from your infirmity. There's a spiritual battle going on. We'll deal with a spiritual battle first. We'll deal with the demon that's there and heal that. And then I'll heal you. Oh, folks, if your spirit has not been healed, if you've not been redeemed, you're still in bondage. So she was renewed. She was redeemed. And she went rejoicing. All she could do was glorify God. And it caught on. Folks, God is contagious. A Christian life is contagious. And people should understand when God changes someone, there's a change in everybody. Everybody could see that woman who was bent over all of a sudden is now upright. They couldn't explain it. They couldn't explain it at all. And they had to give glory to God. Go on back to our passage in Rome and John chapter 8. And in verse 36, Christ says this. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Free in your spirit. Free in your physicality. Free in your emotions. Free in all those things. You may have the consequences of past actions there, but you're free. You have someone that can solve that problem. So the woman left walking tall because she was renewed. She was walking tall because she was redeemed. She was walking tall because she was rejoicing. But the ruler, and in the last verse, in verse 17, it says, and all the what? Adversaries. Not just him. They left ashamed. They left that synagogue that day not changed. Still in their bondage. The woman leaves walking tall. Something she hadn't experienced for years. And the bulk of them left still denying God. Still denying the power of God. Still following the rules that man had made. They were exposed. They were exposed. Because of their self-righteousness. They were exposed because of their judgmental attitude. They were embarrassed. The word for ashamed means to be embarrassed. They were called out. And today, people, there's all sorts of people out there hoping that they're not called out. Well, if you're walking away from God today, I'm calling you out. You need to turn back to him. If you think that you get rid of your burden in your life, I'm calling you out. God will set you free. For whom the Son sets free, he's free indeed. And they left empty. No closer to heaven than before, but actually closer to hell. We need to understand what the scripture says in Romans chapter 10, verse 11. It says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Other translations say, shall not be confounded. God wants to give us life and life abundantly. He He wants to give us joy, unspeakable and full of glory. He wants to give us peace that passeth understanding. He wants to give us hope that abounds. He wants to give us love that is shed forth out of our lives. So this morning, leave today walking tall for Christ. Don't leave here the same way you came in here. We all have problems. Have you consulted Christ about it? Have you seen what this message is all about? It's a choice. Don't leave here the same way that you came in. Let God work. Well, God, you don't understand my problems. He does. He can't fix my problem. Then he's not God. And you need to give that to him. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask you this time of invitation. Father, help us, Lord, to leave walking tall in you. Help us, Lord, to be able to stand in full stature of you. Help us, Lord, to follow you with all of our heart. Father, I ask that you just be with us, Lord. If someone does not know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that today be their day of salvation. Lord, we thank you and we ask all these things in your Son's name.